a show titled The Mark of the Beast, brought to you by me, Martin Zender, in my laundry room. Well, it's kind of my laundry room here at 17th Street. There's the dryer up there. There seems to be, what is that? Looks like a duck. I don't know what's on top of the dryer. Yeah, there seems to be, there's nothing in here now. So I am free, I think. I'm relatively free here to speak to you of the Mark of the Wild Beast. I hope I'm not detected. There's the glass door. Someone could appear at that door at any time. It's true. That sort of adds to the excitement, a little bit clandestine here. But I'm told that if I have this room permanently, then there will be a laundry schedule. So I'm looking forward to that. And I will have run of these things. Think of the monopoly I will have the other days of the week. I could do my laundry anytime I want to. And you better believe I'm looking forward to that. The Mark of the Beast. Welcome to the Revelation series here, folks. Allegiance to the wild beast must be public. It must be open. You won't be able to say, yeah, I believe in the wild beast. You have to show your wild beast card. Except it's not a card. It's either an emblem, the name, or the number. And this very much has to do with buying and selling. How do I know that? Because I am a genius. No, I know it because it says in the text that no one will be able to buy and sell unless they have the mark of the wild beast. So if you read here, which I'm going to do, this word in the Greek is pterogma. Now, I made a video on this, a Crack of Dawn report. Go to my website, look up Crack of Dawn report. It's translated a very interesting way in Acts 17:29. Now, this is the word pterogma, translated mark in the unveiling chapter 13. As in the mark of the beast. Now I'm going to read you Acts 17:29 so you can see just how this agrees with what I was telling you yesterday about the secret of lawlessness, about how lawlessness is presented as a good thing. I don't quite have the hang of this computer yet, but okay, look at this. Acts 17:30. No? Make it 29. Paul is on Mars Hill, and he's talking to the Epicurean and the Stoic philosophers. And he said, the race then is inherently of God. And he did sweeping arm gestures, such as those you're seeing me make right now, if you're on the laundry cam. This is the laundry cam. So Paul says, the race then is inherently of God. We ought not to be inferring that the divine is like gold or silver or stone, a sculpture of art and human sentiment. That word sculpture, speaking of art and human sentiment, is the word pterogma, the same word translated mark of the beast. My conclusion is this, and my conclusion, I believe, is quite workable, quite doable. My conclusion is that this mark is going to be a very beautiful thing. It's going to be well-liked. It's going to be accepted. It's going to be like sculpture. It was translated sculpture. Sculpture of art and human sentiment. A sculpture is not a raw slab of marble. A sculpture is something that's made from a raw slab of marble. It's been developed. It's been refined. It's been scrutinized. And this is going to be an emblem. It's going to be like a tattoo, I believe. A tattoo. Now, pay close attention here. A lot of people talk about this chip. But see, this is me again. There's going to be a chip that is going to be put in your hand, in your top of your hand, or in your forehead, and you can't buy or sell. But see, that idea comes from Christianity. And we know that Christianity is always wrong. So that's very helpful. When you know Christianity is always wrong, to me that's extremely helpful because now you know that it's not going to be a chip. It's not going to be a chip. The mark is going to be a symbolic design, an emblem. Now, every nation has its emblem. The United States has an emblem. We have a flag, 13 stripes, 50 stars. We also have the bald eagle, which is an emblem of the United States. You can think of many emblems. the Golden Gate Bridge is an image, an emblem, not of the United States, but of San Francisco. When you see the Golden Gate Bridge, think of San Francisco. Just look at what states have on their license plates. I think Utah has the Delicate Arch from Arches National Monument. Washington, D.C. has those fancy buildings downtown there, known as the Capitol and the Washington Monument. So my thinking here, and you've heard me say this before, is that the mark or the emblem of the beast is going to be the cross. That's right, the cross. Because, yeah, the thing that goes like this. Think. Because the cross is a Christian thing. And it's not real. Jesus Christ wasn't crucified on a cross. He was crucified on a stake. Staros is the Greek word. S-T-A-U-R-O-S. And it's translated cross. Even in the Concordant version, I remember A. Enoch saying he was very tempted to translate it stake, the stake of Christ, because that's what it is. It's a pole. It's a stander. That's the Greek element. That's the English element. It's a single piece of wood. And so this means that the Christian image of a cross is false. It's false. So now, in my mind, it's free to become the emblem of the beast. And we know the beast is a religious confederation that Christians are going to go gaga for. And so why wouldn't it be a cross? Why wouldn't it? It's perfect. That's the emblem of the beast. I believe it. Could I be wrong? Yes. Am I wrong? No. No. Oh, yeah. Commercial commodities have their trademarks. Everybody knows that. Sun-Made Raisins has the girl. I used to love that girl. I'm going to go in the kitchen here real quick. That Sun-Made Raisin girl, I thought she was the best because she picked raisins. And this is a great example of an image, which is why I'm going to go into the kitchen. Shh, go into the kitchen. All right, I'm going into the cupboard. I'm going to take. Okay, I'm going to show you the emblem of Sun-Made Raisins. And this is... this is a teaching moment. This is an education you're getting here. All right, now I'm back in the laundry room and I'm free to speak freely among myself and yourself. Here is the emblem of Sun-Made Raisins. That cute girl. Now, I always thought she was cute. She's more like Marianne than Ginger. If I had to compare her to Ginger or Marianne from Gilligan's Island, I'd have to say she's more like Marianne. She looks sweet. She looks wholesome because she is a champion of wholesome food, namely natural California raisins. So imagine getting her, and I can imagine this, tattooed somewhere on your body. I can definitely imagine that. Yeah. So the image of the wild beast, take a look, is going to be just as agreeable as this. Are you looking at the laundry cam? The image of the wild beast will be no more threatening than what I am showing you on the laundry cam. And what is more beautiful to Christians than the cross? I ask you, what is more wholesome? What could be more illustrative of the fact that you believe in Jesus than the cross? Even religions and religious societies have taken to the scheme of emblems. The Assembly of God, they have a cross with the flames of fire coming out on the right side. You remember the Assemblies of Gods? Of gods. Yeah, it is the Assembly of Gods. Because they worship false deities. Yes, they do. The Church of Christ, same thing. The Catholics, they have that. Who's got the, is this assembly? Who's got the lamb with the cross going like sideways? You got a lamb here, meh, and then you got a cross that goes like catty corner to the lamb. You get the idea. And if you're a member of one of these organizations, you have pins, right? You have little pins, little emblems that you can put on your lapel to show your allegiance to the organization of your choice. Well, many, many millions, even billions of people will be showing their allegiance to the bestial system by having this emblem. Let's go back and review the passage itself. And it is causing all, small and great, rich and poor. I'm in verse, if my eyes are serving me correctly, I'm in verse 16 of chapter 13 of the Unveiling. It is causing all, small and great, rich and poor, free and slaves, that an emblem may be given them on their right hand or on their forehead. Forehead. That no one may be able to buy or sell except the one having the emblem of the wild beast or its name or the number of its name. Now, it's true, there does seem to be a choice here, and there is a choice. Kind of like the choice Henry Ford gave you when he produced the Model T's. He says, you can have the Model T in any color as long as it's black. Well, same thing here. It's presented as a great freedom, a great choice. You don't have to take the mark of the beast. You can take the name of the wild beast, and the name will be Jesus Christ. It'll be that sweet on the outside. Or the number of the name. And what's the number of the name? I'm going to talk about this later. 666. That's the number. Who in their right mind is going to take that? But what's the most popular thing you hear about? The 666. Everybody knows about 666. So if somebody offered you to take the number of the beast, which is 666, who's taking that? Who? Nobody's taking the number of the beast. That's why there's a choice. So that if you get this cross, well, we know that's not the mark of the beast because it's not 666. Because people don't read thoroughly. They don't read carefully. They're not seeing that there's three things you can choose from. So they think that as long as there's not a 666 on their forehead, like Charles Dum Dum Manson has, or has a swastika or whatever, as long as there's not a 666 on your arm, on your forearm or your hand, back of your hand, then you're good to go. So a cross, in fact, I wouldn't be surprised, this is me, if there was a competing dark, obviously dark, force of some kind, and they told you to take 666 or something like that. And so they're portrayed as the bad guys. And then this competing power, which is a majority power, says, don't take that evil thing, that's the beast. See, they will point to the competing power of the day, whatever it is, and say, don't take that, that's the beast. Just like they do with us today. Listen, people hear our message, and they tell their friends, don't listen to those guys, they're evil. When they're the evil ones, obviously, they're the ones teaching eternal torment and free will. So we say, believe us, we have the truth, and that they're actually the competing people, and they are. They're the evil competitors. And so it's going to be like this. I really believe that people are going to take this mark, think it's the safest thing to do. How many times have people told you this, that they think that, well, I believe in eternal torment, that's safe. Martin, you believe that God's going to save all humanity, and that's a dangerous teaching. If you're wrong, you're going to go to hell for eternity. I'm like, what? If I'm wrong, you're going to sit there, you're going to stand before Christ someday, and you're telling me that your profession, that the cross wasn't good enough, that God was a weakling, that salvation could not save a small percentage of the people God planned to save. You're telling me that's a safe doctrine? And my teaching's dangerous? So everything's going to be turned around. And as you know, it is turned around. Therefore, those who take the mark of the beast, that's the name of the show today, the mark of the beast, those who take the mark of the beast will think that it's the best and safest thing they can do. But in fact, it is the most dangerous, less spiritual, and stupidest thing they can do. But if you don't do it, it will be fatal to you. You will be killed. You will not be able to buy or sell. I'm going to talk about buying and selling on Monday. And I'm going to be back on schedule. But I'm still going to be talking to you here with compromised sound, compromised video, although I think this video looks pretty good. I mean, look what a clear image you get of the knobs on the dryer up there. Fantastic. Look at that ductwork behind the dryer. It's phenomenal. I live in a great place. I'm thankful to God for providing for me. I'm thankful to you for listening to me. I'm thankful for my phone ringing at precisely the wrong time I needed to ring at the end of the show. I will check on that call. Again, it might be the Pope calling me, because, you know, the Pope and I are close. Not.